guys. This is Joy.
Hi.
Do you hear this? I will be in the ocean.
Oh my gosh. So you're leaving on
the
12th. And then how long is this trip and where is it?
20th. Okay. 20th or 21st, whatever, like that following. I'm leaving Friday night because I'm taking the red eye overnight from LA to San Jose because I have to get like a little puddle jumper in San Jose, Costa Rica. So I'm going to Costa Rica. And then I have to take like a little tiny plane from San Jose to Golfito, which is like an hour and a half long flight just to the very, very southern part of Golfito, of Costa Rica. Like, we're literally, as the crow flies, like 10 miles away from Panama. It's very close. So it's very, very far, very far south Costa Rica and on the Pacific side still. Those little puddle jumper flights are really early in the morning. Like, all of them leave before noon. And so rather than fly in Friday night and spend the night in a hotel in San Jose, which also would have been fine, but I was able to find just a red eye flight. So I'm flying overnight Friday night. Now I don't have to pay for a hotel. I land in San Jose at like 5 a.m. on Saturday morning. And then I'll just go through customs and get on my little puddle jumper flight at like 8 a.m. So
I haven't taken an overnight flight since I was in college, and I would take red eye flights to go see my boyfriend at the Naval Academy.
I haven't taken an overnight flight in a really long time. Probably the last overnight flight I took was to Iceland when we did that.
Well, I guess, okay. Well, then that would be my overnight flight.
Yeah, also your most recent overnight flight.
Oh, the memories, though, of those red-eye flights. Gosh.
I'm kind of just
wish
thinking,
I had that stamina of, like,
I know.
Just,
it's going to be rough. Ah. I'm thinking of the fact that, like, now that I've done a couple surf retreats, I know the first day, there's nothing really planned because people kind of are arriving throughout the day. So I know that first day I'm going to just be able to, like, lay in my bed. And then I'll get up the next day and start going surfing. But the really, really cool thing about this particular location. So when I go, I've done the Mexico location twice with Surf with Amigas is the name of the group I go with. And I've done two trips, both to the same location, which is near Sayulita in Mexico, which you fly in and out of Puerto Vallarta. It's so easy to get to, which is why I love it. There's a direct flight from Denver. It's like a 3.5 hour flight. But I wanted to do this one because everyone raves about the location because the beach and the surf break that you're surfing, one of like the main break is outside the front door of the house. Like, you do not have to go anywhere. You just walk outside and the ocean is right there. And
oh, that's the dream. That's like the equivalent for skiing and just
staying right. It is the ski and ski out. When we stay in Mexico, or the place that I've stayed in Mexico, it's right by the beach, but it's not by where you, that beach is not the beach that you can surf at. The break is not correct for surfing. And so we drive like 30 plus minutes to another location to go surf. So I'm really, really excited about this. Somewhere you can just like wake up and walk outside and go surfing. But yeah, so I leave Friday night, I take the red eye, I get there Saturday morning. I get actually to Golfito like around, you know, midday Saturday. And then the trip is Saturday to Saturday. So I leave like early the following Saturday morning and get home late Saturday night. I have to fly Golfito to San Jose, San Jose to Houston, Houston to Denver.
So where are you with your skill level now as opposed to like the first trip? Like, I'm curious how it feels now. But thinking about the first trip that you went on with Surf with Amigas.
That's a good question. Oh, Mira says, I'm going to be in Costa Rica right after you get back next time.
Oh, yeah, we need to meet Mira. Mira's always here for us.
She really is. She's like our tried and true chat gal.
You're here the best. For years. I really hope to meet you one day.
Maybe we should just like go to Sweden or Japan or wherever you live.
Yeah, where are you, Mira?
Since you lived in Japan. I know, but.
No, I think she's in Europe now.
Anyway, so
yes,
she's in the Netherlands. Once again, if you guys don't know what we're doing, there we have a live chat room that happens on the side while we are podcasting. That's why we're always like chatting with our friends, but you can't see or hear.
Just in case people forget that we've been doing this for over a year now. I always assume, but I'm like, people were like, who are they talking to?
Right. We're talking to our chat. So that's a good question about my surf skill level. The very first time that I went was in the spring of 2022. It was over Mother's Day. And I just want to tell the story again because it really has set the stage for all of these trips. When I went that first time, it was like the world was sort of just opening back up over COVID. It was after COVID. It was like we still had to get COVID tests to fly in and out of the US. It was literally over Mother's Day. Like, I was gone Mother's Day weekend. And it was the first trip I had taken that was non-work related since Evie was born. And because it was COVID and like we had had such a kind of tumultuous COVID situation with Brandon and his job, I was so nervous about going. And I got in the car. I got to the airport in Puerto Vallarta, and I get in the shuttle, and the shuttle had two other women who were also on the trip, and it was a mom and daughter and an adult daughter. The daughter was like getting ready to graduate from college, and her and her mom,
yeah,
right, we're doing this trip together. Her she was from, oh my gosh, what's the name of the town? Starts with a W, and it's in North Carolina, and you can surf there, and it is called, people help me out, Wilmington. They're from Wilmington. So like, grew up surfing, always surfed together, and wanted to go on a surf trip together. And the mom, unbeknownst to me, I would later find out, had three kids, and her husband had died when the kids were really young, and she had not remarried and had sort of raised these three kids as a single mom. Her big thing had been taking it, she would take a surf trip for herself every year, and like that was her thing. And obviously I didn't know that, but I got in the car with them and I was like feeling really worried about taking this trip, and I was like, should I have like left my family at home? I'm using all this money on myself, like feeling kind of guilty. And we start introducing ourselves, and they're like, where are you from? What do you do? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm from the Boulder area. And actually I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old at home. And this is my first trip away from them. And the mom was just like, good for you. That's so amazing. I'm so proud of you for taking this trip for yourself. And she had no idea that that is like exactly what I needed to hear in that moment.
Right.
There was not a single, I was really ready for people to be like, oh, who's taking care of your kids? Oh, like, wow.
And they were like, bravo.
She just right out of the gate. Good for you. I'm so proud of you for doing this. It's great that you're taking this trip for yourself. You deserve it. Like, gave me all the affirmations that I needed right off the bat. And I was like, okay, great. Thank you. Let's just cross that off the list. I think about her every time that I go on a trip, of just her sitting in the back of that little shuttle being like, good for you. You just like, this is important. You deserve this. I'm proud of you. And I'm doing this. So if you're out there, Kathy Mann, I am still thinking of you and your daughter.
Thank you for that, Belle. I love when you have those moments of people showing up for you and saying the right thing, like the most perfect thing. And you always remember that. It's such a weird, almost like a sprinkle from the universe of like, I will always remember that person saying that to me.
I mean, you know, I went on to spend the rest of the week with her, like, and kind of got to know her story and understood that this was something that she also had done for herself. And it just was a little kind of guardian angel moment of like, this is the moment that you're going to need at this, just like absolve yourself of that guilt in the moment. So, and I get that question a lot from people who have little kids, not necessarily want to go surfing, but like want to start doing things for themselves again. And I hope that you can find someone. And you need to, that person can be me to tell you, good for you. I'm proud of you. Go spend money on yourself and take time for yourself.
Yes. Like Lynette was saying, the trips and spending money on yourself is so valuable, but also a friendly reminder that if you're thinking something positive, to say it out loud, because that happens to me all the time, where I'll be like, wow, that person looks really cute. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I really need to just tell that person, like, oh, what did I say the other day? I was at Costco. There's this guy that works there. He is like a bodybuilder. He's just super ripped. Like one of those people that when they wear just regular clothes that you can tell that they're just like a huge bodybuilder. And so I always see this guy and I'm like, he must work out. And, you know, I have that conflict of like 5 million thoughts going through my head where I'm like, I don't want to focus on bodies, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, but he's like in really good shape. So he was like the checkout person where you give them the receipt and they go over your receipt before you walk out the door. And so he was checking my receipt and they made some comment. And sorry, guys, this is a little bit of a diet culture statement, but like I just went with it because it was like so fast. But they were talking about like eating this amazing carrot cake. Oh, someone was walking out with this like amazing carrot cake with like the really lush frosting on top. And he's like, that carrot cake is so good. Someone brought it to the break room the other day. And I made a joke. I was like, you eat carrot cake? And he's like, yeah, sometimes I do. I'm like, you are in such good shape. And he was like, oh my gosh, that just made my day. And he was like one of those people where he's kind of just to himself, like I see him all the time, but I made this assumption that like he probably hears that all the time and that he's kind of like a quiet, shy person. But the way that he lit up after I told him that, I was like, wow, I just made someone's day. You just never know when you say something positive to someone, how that might just cheer them up for the day.
I agree. And especially if it's like anything, I mean, we always talk about sometimes the slippery slope of commenting on people's appearances. But something I will say to people is like, oh my gosh, I love that dress on you. Or, you know, that the fit of that dress really works for you. Or like the color of that shirt really works for you. Like I try to make it personal to them and like how it's complimenting them and not be like, oh my gosh, your butt looks so great in that. Like I try to make it like a little more body neutral typically, but I think that it is also really helpful to encourage people of like, good for you for standing up for yourself. Like, you know, those little moments of encouragements for the actions that they're doing too. Beth says, I work at a college. I'm constantly giving little compliments to the students I see walking around campus, especially the ones who look lost in their thoughts or sad. Oh, Melanie says, you two have taught me how to give appropriate compliments. Thanks. That's a compliment.
That is a compliment. That's so nice.
The other day at karate, actually, on this topic, we were talking about compliments. And they were like, you know, it is actually a skill to know how to receive compliments as well. And then a lot of people will just deflect it and like, oh, I love your shirt. Like, no, I love your shirt. You know, like you can't just accept it. So we literally did like a little exercise. We walked around giving people compliments and practiced just saying, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah. Thank you. I know. It all comes back to thank you. I know. Anyway, so to go back to 100 hours ago when you asked about my surfing skills.
Yes.
It's hard because since I only get to surf like once or twice a year, I do often feel like I'm kind of starting over every time. And I've talked about this a little bit, that the thing that's hard about surfing is you can do 1,000 burpees. You can practice your pop-up. You can go swimming. You can like work on your strength and that will help. But the thing that makes surfing hard is the timing. And you can't practice the timing anywhere else other than just doing it, other than just being in the water and knowing when to go. And so I would say I feel more confident now than I did before, but I don't think my skills have really changed all that much. One of the reasons I'm excited about this particular location is I'm hoping that we do actually get to do a little bit more surfing. The one about the Mexico location I love, but really, I can't surf for more than like maximum probably 2 hours at a time. It's exhausting. Then when you get out of the water, if that's it for the day, like, yeah, you might be surfing 5 days in a row, but in two hours, you're probably catching, or at least I maybe am catching like at my ability level, 5 waves in that amount of time. On a good day, I would actually like catch and paddle into, successfully catch, stand up and ride for more than like 1 second on maybe 5 waves. So it's just it's a slow process because it's just hard to like get that practice. So I'm hoping that because of this location, we get to surf more like throughout the day and take breaks and kind of go back in and out of the water. I don't know for sure. We'll see how it goes.
Tacos, like such a great combination.
Oh my gosh.
Being in the sun.
I'm going to eat fruit.
Surfing. Did you buy any new gear? You bought a cute new hat. Like that's so fun to start shopping for trips.
I bought that wetsuit for this trip, the sleeveless one. Oh, yeah. When I sent you guys that picture of that funny wetsuit?
Yeah, well, you had like your leg up on the...
Yeah, like, look at my wetsuit. So it's like because my concern was that the water, after having gone to Costa Rica in January with our family, the water is pretty warm. Normally when I surf in Mexico, I wear a full wetsuit because the Pacific up by Mexico is still quite cold. The water is still quite cold. But for that far down, the water was getting a lot warmer. But I need that sun protection. I can't be out in the water for more than literally probably like 30 minutes without.
Oh, man, you would just fry. Or you'd have to continuously try to reapply. Yeah, it's not worth it.
Exactly. And when you're surfing and you're like moving around so much and you're rubbing your legs, especially like if you're laying on the board and then you're sitting up and you're sitting with your thighs kind of like up out of the water like that, after laying on your board, it's just impossible. So I bought that wetsuit. I'm really excited about it. And then I also have a long sleeve rash guard that is pretty lightweight that I bought that I'm going to wear either potentially over the, I don't know. We're going to figure out the system when I get there. But the name of the game for me is sun coverage because of my pasty, pasty white skin.
I love packing for trips that are warm weather because it's so easy. You just like throw some flip-flops in and
yes, totally.
Shorts, t-shirts are good to go.
Like I'm not going to check a bag. I mean, I'm really excited. And they provide the surfboards. I have a surfboard, as everybody knows. I've never used it. But I actually have two surfboards. One of them I have used, but my really nice one I haven't used yet. And the main reason is because when I go on these trips, they provide them because it's hard to travel with a board that's that big. And that puddle jumper flight I was talking about, you actually can't take surfboards on that plane if they're longer than 6 feet, which I like to surf with like a 9 foot board. So,
all right. Well, we cannot wait for the update. That's very exciting. So and excited. Post all the pictures and then we can get jealous. And
I have some books that I'm going to be reading. I can't wait. I have a lot of, I asked for recommendations for books that were like fantasy or sci-fi or like maybe a little bit smutty. And everyone was like, read Fourth Wing. Like that. This is where I got that idea. I loved Fourth Wing. I read Fourth Wing. I read the other one, whatever.
Iron Is this Flame, where the smut called. Comes into play, like the fairy smut?
Okay. The a little bit of like, And I was like, yeah, those were great. I loved that. And so what can I get that's more of that? But the books that I ended up deciding to get So I haven't started A Court of Thrones and Roses. I think that's what it's called. A-C-O-T-A-R. The reason I haven't gotten into it is I tried Throne of Glass, which is the same author, and I just didn't love it. But I bought A Court of Thrones and Roses. I keep wanting to say A Coat of Thrones and Roses. Anyway, I bought it months ago and I haven't gotten into it. So I'm going to bring it and hope for the best. I didn't keep going on with the Throne of Glass series yet. That is another thing that people were like, just push through, it gets better. But I have this thing about people, about like things like that, where people are like, just read the first couple books, like the rest of the series better, or just watch the first two seasons of this show and then it gets good.
You don't like that. You're like, I don't want to.
I'm
the same way. I kind of need something to just take off.
I just really want it to take off.
Yes. This is why I have such a hard time with certain shows. Like, I know The Crown is really good, but man, when I started it, I was like, I'm so tired.
Totally. And I appreciate that you need to like build.
I totally get that. Like, there's certain shows where I've got like Breaking Bad, where I'm like, if you can get past the first season, because it's really violent. Like, I truly feel like that's one of the best shows ever written, but I get it. Like, I'm kind of a hypocrite in that sense.
There's certain. But yeah. Also, I'm like, yeah, but I. Also, there are enough things out there, enough shows, enough movies, enough series, enough books where it's good immediately or within the first couple, maybe not on the first page, but by the first book, you're already hooked. Mira said, I don't like it either. The writers have one shot with me. Carol says, I could not watch Breaking Bad. Didn't make it through the first episode. Me either, Carol.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, because it was so violent. The first season really is so violent.
The first episode, you're like, this is so intense immediately.
Yeah. And it's really violent.
And then that one.
And it gets really good. Oh, it's so good, though. It really is.
Okay. So a lot of people suggested the author Emily Henry, who I think is sort of like a Beach Reads sort of author. I did not grab anything by her, but a lot of people suggested the book Bride by Allie Hazelwood was suggested a few times. I think that one's like a little bit spicy. A lot of people suggested Fourth Wing, like I said. If you haven't, I think I talked about this a couple months ago. If you haven't gotten that bandwagon yet and you like to read and you typically like dragon type things, like just do it. It's worth it. Like, don't be a holdout just for the sake of being a holdout. It's worth it. A few people recommended some books that I've already read, like Lessons in Chemistry. I loved. If you haven't read that book yet, it's about to be a movie. Highly recommend the book. Came out probably, 3 years ago at this point, 2 years ago. Station 11 and what was the other one I read? Sea of Tranquility are all really good. Highly recommend those. Butcher and Blackbird was recommended a few times, but I read the reviews and it is like not only pretty spicy, but also seems to be like pretty gnarly. Like, it's about serial killers and like it's two serial killers who go around killing serial killers and then they like fall in love, but apparently it's like pretty gruesome. So I did not decide to go for that one.
It kind of feels like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it was kind of intense. Anyway.
I just love suspense. Like, I really am in the mood lately for some suspenseful TV shows or...
I don't like suspense.
I love suspense. I don't like gore. I've said this before, but I really want to be... I think it's because I fall asleep so easily to any movie. The second you put it on, I'm like taking a nap for the first hour. So Scott is always like, what movie are we going to fall asleep to tonight? But suspense, I can be engaged where I'm just like, oh, this is so exciting.
Oh, see, I get overwhelmed by suspense and I just have to leave. Like, this
oh,
is
really? Yeah.
Like, I have to look
you
it up.
You stay up all night? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like Googling like end of this movie. Like, what happens? Yeah. So that I don't have
tell
to
me what happens.
So the books that I have are The Rachel Incident and The Charm Offensive. And apparently they're both like kind of like cute, quirky, a little bit romantic. I'll let you know how they are. Coat of Thorns and Roses I also have. And then the other one that I had actually just checked out from the library a couple days ago is called...
Oh, did you go... Like, do you have the library app? I need to get back on there. I love that. Libby? Is that what it's called?
I don't. I just like go to...
Oh, do you actually go to the library? And you get like physical books? Yeah. That's such a lost art for me. I mean, it's so romantic for like... The idea, I have a library literally two blocks from my house. I have two of them two blocks from my house. And yeah. I'm just like, oh, I should just go and hang out. There's something very comforting about going to the library because you just like, that's what you did when you were a kid.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I think actually I rediscovered the library with my kids. Like, I hadn't really been to the library since like college or grad school.
Yeah. College, grad school. Yeah.
But I have... Really rediscovered. And Longmont has a really cute library. The other book I have is called Blackouts. It's by Justin Torres. It's like, yeah, very interesting so far. That's the other thing I love going on vacation is I get to read books. And this is my plug for the 1,000,000th time. If you are a reader who likes any type of fantasy and or strong female characters and you have not read The Adventures of Amina al-Sarafi by S.A. Chakraborty, Chakraborty is the last name of the author. You have to read it. It's my favorite book I read in such a long time. It's so fun. Please read it.
Okay. Lovely. All right. Let's take a quick break to hear from this week's sponsor. This week's episode is sponsored by Purity Woods, the makers of the age-defying dream cream. How does my skin look today? It looks really good and shiny and healthy and glowy. I just put on my age-defying dream cream this morning. And I was thinking about this. I was like, ooh, it's probably about time. The last time we had dinner with Jess is when we all got a new bottle of our age-defying dream cream. Because what we do, this is what you should do with your besties, is you should just go on like buying three bottles at a time and then you share and then you kind of like cycle through. So I think it's my turn to buy three bottles and then share it with everybody. So we need to have a dinner soon. So everyone is loving the age-defying dream cream. If you've been looking for a skincare product that can effectively combat aging and wrinkles, I've been loving it because it really sinks into your skin. You can feel the difference. It smells really good. It lasts really long. That was 2 months ago that one bottle has lasted. They are on a mission to provide people with the cleanest and most effective healthy aging and longevity products available. All of their products are USDA certified organic, non-GMO, free of anything artificial, free of toxic preservatives and synthetic additives like pesticides, chemical fertilizers and dyes, parabens, and of course, it's cruelty-free, never tested on animals. Turn back time on the appearance of your skin with Purity Woods Age-Defying Dream Cream. Purity Woods is currently offering 17% off site-wide, but we have an additional 10% discount for our listeners for a total savings of 27%. Go to puritywoods.com/joy and enter code joy at checkout for an additional 10% off your first order. That's Purity Woods, PURITYWOODS.com and enter code joy for a total of 27% off your first order. Thank you so much for supporting our podcast over the years by supporting the sponsors of This Is Joy and Claire. I have a question. So over the past year, we've really kind of been exposed to the ChatGPT world. AI has really just like blown onto the scene. And something that came up for me recently was like, I understand the benefits of AI and how it can really add to jobs being more efficient. We're using it in a lot of the work that we're doing with certain workflows. But my first reaction with some of this stuff was I would see a bunch of peers writing things and I could tell it was like from ChatGPT. So it was almost like it felt a little bit fraudulent to me where I'm like, you're not even using your own thoughts, but I understand like the benefits of it in certain things. Like, where do you stand with that? Because I think there was a part of me that's like, oh, this is just me adjusting to new technology. And in 10 years, it's not even going to be an issue. But there's something a little bit about like, I get this like purity feeling of like, I had to do it. I had to do the hard work, whether it be I had to work a job or I had to look up card catalogs or I had to use a typewriter. We didn't have computers. Like, we had a computer lab. I didn't even have my own computer in college. Like, there's something about like being a purist of that stuff that I get a little annoyed when this stuff comes on the scene. But then again, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be on board in like 5 years.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I believe to be true about AI is that the more we use it, the more we're going to learn to work with it instead of like, I think right now people are just trying to say like, well, I'm going to have AI do this completely for me. And I think we are kind of ping ponging back and forth between like, this sounds not real to, oh, well, now I just have to redo it because and I think we're going to find a happy medium with AI.
Yeah, it's like the relationship to it. Yeah, it's kind of like the phones when I've been rewatching Sex and the City because it's on Netflix now. I mean, it's on HBO. It's on every platform we have, basically. But because it's on Netflix, I was like, oh, I'm going to rewatch a few episodes, which turned into like 2 seasons that I've been watching. But it's so, and I did this the other day. I was talking to my boss because we're doing a bunch of interviews right now. So I'm interviewing a ton of people for the role that I'm leading. Oh, by the way, guys, I got a promotion I don't even think I've talked about that, but I got a promotion in February. So I'm running a whole new program right now with contractors for Headspace and therapy and all that. So I'm kind of managing this whole program when we're having to hire a lot of people. We completed this interview and I said, blah, 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 this candidate is pretty good, but she's pretty new. And my boss goes, Joy, she got her license in 2018. That's 6 years ago. And I was like, oh, like in my brain, 2018 was right, yesterday, was like year, you know? Know? And she was like, Joy, that was 6 years. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. I'm like, but 6 years still for someone who's like, what, 20 plus years in the field. I'm like, 6 years feels like nothing, but like it wasn't new, you know, she's not new to the field. But I think like watching Sex and the City and thinking about back then, to me, Sex and the City was like yesterday, but they're on the screen and they have zero cell phones. Like this was pre-cell phone. So it is like coming to a place of relationship with it where when the iPhone came on the scene, I totally remember Scott getting the first iPhone and me being just livid because I was like, what is this? It's taking up all your time and you're just sitting on a screen. Next thing you know, we're all just freaking addicted to our screens. It's like the same. So I feel like I wonder if ChatGPT, AI, all of this stuff is going to be the same way. Like we have to figure out our relationship to it.
Yeah, I think that we are going to figure out how to like make it work for us instead of the other way around. And I think that like, for example, in the chat right now, people are talking about high school students who are using it and are just like regurgitating ChatGPT and just straight up turning in ChatGPT essays without any thought or reason or rhyme. That to me is like, yeah, of course they're doing that. Like they are pushing, they're trying to find the limit. In the same way that like, if you think about, I mean, I don't know, plagiarizing, I guess in high school, like where people would just like download, you could download an essay that someone else had written. Like, I don't know, when I was in college, we had to submit all our assignments through Turnitin.com. I don't know if that still exists, but basically it would like check your essay against everything else on the internet and come back whether or not you had just downloaded it from the internet or copied and pasted it from some like, I mean, this was before even Reddit existed, but, or was popular, but I feel like there's always going to be that thing. One thing that Morgan was talking about in the chat, was it Morgan? No, Emily, is that she'll use it like to kind of get started and then take it from there, like get AI to write the first little bit of something. And my mom uses it that way even, where like she'll kind of, if she's going to write like a sales email, she'll have ChatGPT start it and then she'll go back through and edit it.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is so much easier.
Like a template. It's almost like a template in it's Word like, where it's exactly.
It's like if you can get, you know, oh, this is maybe some thought starters or this is like start, write an outline for a press release about XYZ in this industry. I think it's helpful in that way. But I don't have the feeling around like, this, I had to do it. And so therefore you do too. I'm more thinking about it as like, all right, how can we make AI work for us? And there's this, you know, little meme going around that's like, I want AI to fold my laundry and do the dishes so that I have time to create art. I don't want AI creating art so that I have time to fold laundry and do the dishes. That is also how I feel about it. It's like, I want us all to figure out how to use AI to like do the things that we don't want to do so that we can go back to like having time for human expression. Because it does feel like we're seeing these things where it's like, oh, look at this cool art or this cool like creative thing that AI can do. And that feels more noticeable to us because it's like, wow, a robot created that and it's so artistic and cool. Those are also the places where it feels like, no, that's actually what I want humanity to be working on. ChatGPT can take over my like OPEX budget exercises every month or can take over screening my like I, you know, going out and finding my new auto insurance rate every 6 months. Like I don't want to spend the entire weekend doing that. I want to be able to just have AI tell me what to do in those situations. But also like the other day I was like, you know what would be interesting, because I was thinking back to like our meal planning days. I was like, how cool would it have been to just been able to go into ChatGPT and say like, hey, these are my macros for the week. Give me a meal plan and a shopping list. So I tried it and it was like, here you go. And then I was looking at it. I was like, this is wrong. Like the macros I had for eggs were just blatantly incorrect. And I wrote it and I was like, that's not the correct. I chatted it back. I was like, that's not the correct macro count for eggs. And it was like, oh yeah, sorry about that. Excuse you? You know.
Yeah.
Still, it's an imperfect tool. There was something I found or I saw on the Instagrams about how a teacher like tries to fish for AI essays. And what she does is she takes her essay prompt and she cuts it into two paragraphs. And at the end of the first paragraph, she writes like, include the words hot dog and Frankenstein. And then she copies that and turns that text white so you can't actually see it on the page. So she's like, this tells me if someone has just copied and pasted the prompt directly into ChatGPT without looking, because then I'll go back through and look in their essay to see if those two words are there. And that's how I'll know that the AI wrote it and they didn't actually.
She's outsmarting AI. I love it.
Brilliant. So
great.
If you guys need that tip, I thought it was very smart.
Morgan says it's great for job interview prep too. You can paste the job description and ask it to generate interview questions. I love that because I think interview questions are just being someone who's going through a lot of interviews right now. The interview process is so important and people can just kind of flip through it. And I think asking certain questions that are just like regurgitated over and over again and people just kind of have canned responses, we're not hiring quality candidates that way. So I think being more creative with interview questions is wonderful. Lauren says, I have an English teacher friend who made his students fact check a ChatGPT essay. Love that. So I think it is kind of like getting to know how to use it. I think it's really a brilliant tool. For example, our job right now, we have a team that does quality assurance for note taking. So making sure that our notes are up to standard and compliance for insurance, billing and what have you. And so we have a really awesome team, but it's a team of three people. Quality checking medical notes with three people for a team of like, 300 is a lot of work for them. And so there's a new program, can't remember the name of it, but that we're hiring or that we're buying, that we're purchasing, contracting with to have an AI tool that does quality assurance for them so they can check more notes. We can have better quality with the manpower, people power that we have now. That's amazing because they can't do all of that work and they can't hire more people right now. But to be able to do that with a click of a button is like, oh my gosh. And then they can kind of go over the notes.
That's what I mean is like, let's figure out how to get AI to do these like really kind of menial feeling tasks so that we can open ourselves up for the ability to do more critical thinking.
And that's what I think I like. I don't love like when I would notice when it first started kind of being on the scene, I was like last year, 2 years ago, I just remember a few coworkers would send emails. I'm like, this was not written by you. That bugs me because I'm like, don't claim that this is your thought, or at least like have some type of like disclaimer that this was how, like cite your source. But I don't know. That's what bugs me. I think is what people are saying too, is like, don't claim it as your work. But if it's a tool to help you with like a jumping off point of prompt, I've used it for prompts before where I'm like, give me ideas for this. And I think that's great.
I agree. I think also someone in the chat is talking about having in education, using it as a tool to teach people how to use AI, because I think the reality is that it's not going away. We're not going to just like decide it's not useful. And so it's more about figuring out. And I remember going through this when I was in high school and college with Wikipedia. It's like, how can you think critically about the information you're getting? Because before Wikipedia, we would have to get stuff, research was such like a hard skill. Like you went to the library, you took out an encyclopedia, like it was a peer-reviewed journal. Like there was no such thing as sort of crowdsourced information before really Wikipedia. I remember so many classes where they would be like, you can't trust what you read on Wikipedia. And then over time it turned into like, actually there is some legit stuff on there, but here's how to tell. And you need to be able to go, find another source that says the same thing if you're not sure, or how to fact check your fact checking. And I think that's really more what it comes down to is like, hey, listen, this isn't going away. And it can actually be useful as long as you're paying attention.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to talk about because I was like, I don't care. I think you're right with there's definite pluses. I mean, I am such a fan for taking out tasks that save us time that can really optimize other areas of our life. But in terms of being like, here's what I wrote, I'm like, this was not your original thought.
I had another thought swirling in there. I do think there's still benefit in some of those like quote unquote menial tasks for if you're an entry level person, because that is how you learn.
Yeah, that's true.
Tasks and processes and like new industries and I remember having to write the newsletters for the companies I worked for. I was like, that's how I learned about the companies. And then it's just so easy. Like newsletters are something that I think, I don't know if I've read a human written newsletter since AI came out because nobody likes writing newsletters.
Is that how we're going to bring back our newsletter? Can we just have AI? Idea. You know what? We need to get that. Yes, we really just need to get back on that.
Yeah. But I think it is a good tool. Like Morgan's saying, I used to spend hours writing emails. Now it takes me half the time. I can focus on more meaningful projects. We could give a million different examples. Writing, I think, is a really good one because it does, like, I take for granted I'm a very fast writer. And we've always talked about that. Like, I can go from concept to execution in an hour.
Yeah.
Most people are not like that.
No. You definitely
so are. Much. Yeah. Yeah. It helps so much to just be able to get you over the hump to, like, have something to start with. And I think that's the case in a lot of, the best use scenarios of AI.
Do you want to give an update on your bangs, journey and how that experience was for you?
I was going to try to make an AI segue because I did actually look up how I would look with bangs using AI before I went.
Oh, you did?
I like downloaded a little app where you can try different hairstyles.
Yeah, I've seen those. And I did that like back. I do that every time I want to cut my hair short. It's almost like I've never cut my hair short before.
I know, like you wouldn't know. I've never had bangs like this as an adult. And so as we've discussed, and the app did not. It's not how I ended up looking, which is fine. Yeah, so I got bangs. I like them. I've had them now for, by the time you hear this, will have been almost 3 weeks, but in this the time of our recording now, it's been about a week and a half.
So tell me, like, when you arrived, what did you say to Liz and what did she say? Were you like, because I'm always curious of, like, how the concept comes in and how the hairdresser is like, here's what we think.
So I went to Liz at Goldie and Bob, who we've talked about before. She is so smart. She's so artistic. She's like one of the hairstylists who, when if you walk in, she really can help you figure out what you're trying to do. And that's why I went to her, because she's also like five times more expensive than the normal hairstyling that I typically tend to get, not five times, but like legitimately three times.
Yeah.
But I was like, I know that I need someone who can kind of walk me through understanding.
Her experience is definitely worth it because like if you're going through a big change like that, you don't want to mess around. And that's like I said, I will only go to her when I have to cut, when I want to cut my hair short, because she knows exactly what to do.
Exactly. And she is like going to help you figure out what it is you're asking for. And so I went in, you know, and I was like, I had probably been 5 years since I'd seen her. And I think she kind of had this like, you know, what are you doing here sort of moment. And I was like, no, I'm here because I want bangs and I need someone who knows what they're doing. And I literally just said that. I was like, I'm here because I know that you know what you're doing and I'm making a big change. So I showed her some pictures and I was like, really what I want is like a true, well, I've said this in the podcast already. Like I want like a true fringe, like thick. I don't want curtain bangs. I don't want side bangs. I don't want wispy bangs. I want to go all in. Like I'm jumping with both feet into bangs. And she was like, great. Yep. I had a couple pictures on Pinterest and one of them was like, this is what I want. But most of them were actually like, this is what I don't want. So we went through all of those. And the first picture I showed her of what I want, she was just like, oh yeah, this will work. And we kind of talked through it. She literally spent an hour and a half cutting my bangs.
Precise. That's the other thing I like about her. She's so meticulous. She does everything so just like she takes her time because she's like, this is.
And she kept saying, she was like, I'm going to come back to this. And like, sorry, I just keep. I'm like, no, don't apologize. That's why I'm here. And so she cut the bangs, like did the length cut first and then kind of cut the rest of my hair a little bit. And she was like, I don't think you want to go shorter with the rest of your hair. I was like, no, I agree. Like, let's try to keep the length, but you probably need, it was like a really blunt cut that I had. So she kind of like lightened up the rest of my haircut a little bit. Every like 10 minutes, she would just kind of come back to my bangs and like a little adjust them here. And then, okay, we're going to go back to regular hair.
She would mess with it. Yeah, she does that with when I cut my hair short too. She's always like, she like tinkers with it.
And then which I love. And I was like, this is what I need. I need somebody who's really dedicated to like making sure this is going to fall correctly.
Totally.
It was great. And she really walked me through like, this is exactly how you're going to want to style them. Here's the, like, if you want to get some product, here's what you should do. And you should, here's how you're going to like train your bangs to not try to go into your natural part. And that was my really big concern, is that the only other time I've ever had bangs, tried to have bangs in my life, I wasn't ever able to get them to sit forward on my face. And now I know it's because we didn't have enough hair in there. Like we tried to go too wispy.
You have to have volume.
Yeah. And I told her, I was like, I feel like we have the perfect placement for the where you started, like the hair that you brought into it. And she was like, honestly, that is dictated by your head shape and your hairline. It's not really, shouldn't really be a choice. Like if you want bangs, your hairline will dictate where you should pull them from and like the direction your hair grows. It's like, oh, that probably is why they didn't ever work before, because we didn't have enough hair to like have them be growing in that direction. So I really like them so far. They are definitely a little bit of work, but I'm already getting used to it. I ordered a little travel blow dryer for my surf trip because I was like, this is the one thing that I don't really, it's a wild card. And you know what? The nice thing is on those surf trips, like it doesn't matter how I look and I don't really, I'm not worried about it, but I would like to not have hair like all over the place when I'm surfing.
Yeah.
They're short enough that they're not going to like get in my face if they're wet.
Right.
But, and I also surf with a hat on. I have this like dorky little cap with a chin strap so that my face isn't, you know, I don't get sunburned. But I am looking forward to the fact that typically I'm really worried about sunburning my forehead. And so I'm not going to have to worry as much about that. I mean, I'll still put sunscreen on.
Yeah.
And I bought like a cute little hat. When in doubt, I'll just put my hat on.
Or get one of those like larger headbands that can kind of like convert, and then you can just wrap it and push your bangs down over it.
And honestly, I actually bought a satin headband that women use like to hold their edges down when they sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To hold my bangs down when I sleep. And it's been working really well. So
that's perfect.
Because the first morning.
Yeah, they look really good.
I didn't do anything to them today.
Yeah.
The first morning I woke up and Brandon just like came in the room and kind of just like chuckled. And he's like, your bangs. And he like made a little hand gesture like, I was like, yeah, I can feel them. They're sticking straight up.
Yeah. People were like, it's like something about Mary where they're just like standing.
So that wasn't great. But I feel like they're really, my hair is figuring it out and I'm figuring it out and I really like them and the reception has been good. People like them. And I do think it like has had the effect I wanted it to, where it does feel like a big change for my face because of, like I was saying before, just how prominent my forehead is. But my concern was that I was going to look really young. And the first time I put my hair into a ponytail, I was like, oh, I feel like a second grader. Like, I feel like I'm like going to go like jump rope, but I've kind of gotten over that.
I think it looks great. I think it makes you look more youthful, not in like a kid way, but I just, yeah, I think it looks really good on you. I was talking to someone the other day. I don't know who it was. We were talking about hair and like how I always cut my hair off. It might've been a coworker where it's like, I cut my hair off. I let it grow out. I'm always changing my hair. I think it was someone who hadn't seen me in a while. And I was like, well, I've probably had 10 different hairstyles since the last time you saw me. So like, don't feel bad if you don't recognize me. Nothing has provoked people more than when I cut my hair off. And when I say that, it's that projection thing. Something that I always hate when people, whenever I cut my hair or what, do something different, people are go, when people say, do you like it? Cause I'm always like, do you like it? Does it matter? Like, of course, it's such a weird question, but like, that's always a reaction. Or when people say, well, I wish I could do that. I'm like, yes, you could do that. Part of the reason why I cut my hair is because I try to challenge my attachment to hair because it's such a like personal thing and people like hide behind hair. So it's for me, it's a personal growth thing where I'm like, I feel self-conscious about certain features of my face. And so I think it looks great. I'm not trying to get like a quote unquote like ugly haircut. I think short hair is amazing. But on me, sometimes I feel self-conscious because it is like something that I can't like hide behind when it's short. So I purposely do it for that reason because I'm like, I want to really challenge my self-confidence and like, you know, just how I present myself. But people will always be like, well, I can't do that. I could never do that. I'm like, well, you could. It's so funny. People get so reactive when I cut my hair around like just putting their stuff on to me about their insecure. It's really, really funny. Or like, what does Scott think? And so whenever I get my hair cut now, Scott always goes, what does Scott think?
Like, I actually like the question when people say like, well, do you like it? Because I think they're trying to get a gauge of like, well, I don't want to give you my opinion if you don't like. I more so try to get like, I'm trying to open up a conversation. If I ask someone like, well, do you love it? Or, you know, and because I want people to say, I don't want to tell people like, oh my gosh, look at your hair or, you know, whatever. And then have them be like, oh yeah, I hate it. And I wish I had never cut my hair.
Chelsea Peretti just did an episode. Chelsea Peretti is a comedian who is like one of the funniest. She's done a ton of things. She's so freaking funny. And she has a podcast. She started out podcasting way before you and I were podcasting. And then she stopped for a while and she's married to Jordan Peele. Anyway, she's amazing and I love her. But she has a new podcast that she kind of like resurrected. She said, she's like, I always hate when people like, she's like, if I cut my hair, I know people don't like it because they just say, oh, you cut your hair. She's like, oh, yeah. Like, it's just, it's so funny instead of people being like, I love it. Or whenever I think I take it the wrong way, maybe I take it the wrong way because when people are like, do you love it? I'm always like, well, of course. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's really funny. You're like, well, what does Scott think? I love it. Scott says that.
That cracks me up. Yeah.
That one bothers me. Like, why does it matter? No one has asked me what Brandon thinks. He likes it, but no one has been like, oh my gosh, what does your husband think? When Evie saw it, though, she had a real reaction. And I was thinking about all of the Instagram reels I've seen where small children see their dads without beards for the first time and they're like, oh no.
So shocked. Oh, it's so funny.
Beth says, I went in for highlights, somehow ended up with a very short, spiky, very blonde hairdo. My toddler son saw me and screamed and ran away. Yeah, Evie walked in the door. She took one look at me, backed up against the wall and went, oh.
She did? Yeah. When you got bangs?
When I got bangs. And I was like, do you like it? And she just had this look on her face like, She was just so shocked. Morgan says, what the heck? She has bangs. I know. I think she was just really surprised. And I told her, I was like, I'm going to go get my hair cut because I don't want her to be surprised.
Totally.
I'm going to get my hair cut. I'm going to have bangs like you. But she just was like, I think really surprised by it. And then I said, you know, I was like, well, do you like it? And she just kind of was looking at me like, huh? And then she came around to it the rest of the weekend. She was like, mommy, I love your haircut. But when she first saw me, she was just like, I had this really funny reaction. Evie Joan. And Miles really liked it. He was really sweet about it. But yeah, Evie's reaction was so funny. She literally was like backed up against the wall. Like, who is this lady in the house? I'm finally getting my sleeve tattoo finished in May. And so I'm just going to like new year, new Claire. Somebody was saying something about that. They were like, well, now that you're done getting tattoos, you have to change your hair. I was like, yeah, I guess I have to
You got to find some way to mix it up. I think it's so fun. I always think like life's too short. If you want to try something, try something. Like it's not, yeah.
Especially with your hair.
Yeah. I keep looking at I got an aura ring.
Yeah, I know. You were talking about that a couple weeks ago.
I love it. I'm really excited about it. I was on the fence, but my company has partnered with Aura. So we get a discount and I used my FSA to buy it because you can use your FSA HSA. So I was like, okay, now's the time to buy it. And I am really liking it. I like it because it's so personal. The stats are really, really, they start to get more accurate as like the longer it gets to know you. So we'll see. Beth said, please explain what it is. Is it like, it's a health tracker. So it tracks your sleep. It tracks your heart rate.
You have to read the rest of Beth's comments. She says, is it like a mood ring?
Is it like...
It is like...
It kind of is.
Yeah, it's not a mood ring.
Yeah, it's not a mood ring. So like it has... So you have an app, right? Like it's Bluetooth and it's connected to an app in your phone. It does like heart rate variability, your activity goal. And I really like that, like, so Apple... The Apple Watch, I do think it can promote more of like disordered activity where you're like just constantly trying to meet your rings closure, and you can adjust like the rings max, meaning like you could push your calories to like, I want to burn 1,000 calories today. Like to me, I'm like, that's kind of unnecessary. So I think the Apple Watch can promote a little bit more of like disordered thinking around it, where someone has mentioned this before, where you don't, it's out of sight, out of mind, unless you open the app and it sets the calories just as like a basic activity goal, which I'm like, fine, I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to adjust it. And then it does your daytime stress, which is really cool. It kind of shows you like if your activity level is too much to be like, hey, you need... I do like that this focuses more on recovery, rest and recovery, because I think it assumes people who are wearing this are really active and like really push themselves. So I appreciate it for that, because most of the time it's like, hey, you're doing a lot today. Just make sure you're prioritizing rest. And then it has a readiness score. It kind of aggregates all of your data and says, you've been too stressed. So you really need to take more recovery time today. It tracks your sleep, gives you like a sleep score, which is the whole reason why I got it, because we got a new mattress that doesn't track my sleep. And I really mentally like that. It tracks your cycle. You kind of have to input that, of course. I think the funniest thing, see, I'm getting those heart flutters again, that perimenopause thing that I told you, like where you get flutters and it makes you cough. Morgan said, I've wondered about lifting weights with it on. I take it off because my watch tracks my workouts, and then I have it syncing to the Aura ring. So if I'm lifting weights, I take it off, or I wear those like weightlifting gloves because I don't want it to scratch.
And you're still wearing your Apple Watch.
I'm still wearing my Apple Watch just because that's how I tell my time. And I like the weather and whatever messages. So I still track my workouts on the watch as well, but I don't do it as like, I don't track walks anymore because the Aura ring will track it for me. Something that I think is really cute is it, so it tracks your sleep, and I take quite a bit of naps, like, and especially in the past month, for whatever reason, my body's just been like really out of whack. So I will like lay down in the afternoon and I'll like fall asleep for like an hour. And then like when I open my app, it'll be like, it looks like you took a nap. It'll like have you log your nap.
Thank you.
That's so, and I almost get embarrassed because I'm like, oh, it noticed that I was napping. it looks like you took a nap. So things like that are really cute. I do like the heart rate because, like I said, I still get a little worried about my heart rate with history of Graves' disease. And that was like a big piece of data when I was going through Graves was like my heart rate was really high. So it's just like good mental reassurance for me that I'm doing okay. But I like it more, like I said, because of the recovery aspect. It's just focusing more on like, you need to rest. Make sure that your sleep is okay and that this like readiness score takes all of those things into consideration versus like waking up and being like, hit all your circles today on your Apple Watch, because it doesn't say anything about your stress levels, which the Oura Ring really focuses on. So far I'm a fan. I got it like a couple weeks ago, so we're still dialing things in.
I know that you've been talking a lot about like perimenopause symptoms. Have you seen your doctor yet? You're getting ready to see your doctor.
Yeah, I see. Oh, actually, but as of this recording, so by the time this airs, I'll have seen my doctors, but I'm seeing my primary care physician this week. And then I'm also going to a gynecologist because I just started freaking out. I don't know why. This is the thing about just, I don't know, you know how it's almost like if you Google something and you get almost like hyper-focused on it. I had this like freak out moment where I was like, oh my gosh, my PMS symptoms have been so bad. Like I feel like I've been texting you and Jess about this every time it happens and my cycle's really off. Like I'm just, everything is going out of whack. It is so intense. It's like, I feel like I'm going back to adolescence. Like my symptoms are just like horrible cramps. And I've had an IUD for like 10 years, 10 plus years, 15 years. I mean, I've had it replaced a few times, but like, I've just mainly forgotten about it. So I was like, oh my gosh, what if I need to like take this out and go on something totally new? And like, because I just realized at my age, things are not going to be working the same way as they were when I first got this IUD. So I'm going to talk to my gynecologist about like my options and things. But I just started freaking out about like my body going haywire. And it's just been so painful. Like I haven't had one of those days in ages where you literally feel like taking a sick day because your cramps are so bad. Or I'm taking Advil. I like never have to take Advil because of cramps. And lately I've just been like, oh, I just want to like lay on the couch with a heating pad. I haven't had to do that since literally I was a teenager. Like I've been lucky because I've been on birth control for so long. But anyway, so yeah, I'm getting things figured out. And I think that reassurance will help too.
Well, we'll be interested to hear what you find out.
Yeah. And this episode we just recorded, you guys will have heard the episode already with Jennifer Churchill, which I just think is so important that we're talking about all this stuff. It's like, you know, I don't want to be the cliche, like nobody talks about this, but really I want to normalize it because I think my mom and the generations before her, you just went through it and you didn't talk about it. And you just kind of like had to go hole up in a room when you were having a bad day and push through. And I just think that's a huge disservice. So we're going to get through it. We're going to figure it out. But I always encourage people to get their own medical advice. We are not doctors. Just a reminder.
Not even close.
I felt like I was just doing a Catholic hymn. In the name of the Father. All of my Catholic friends just like nodded and knowing. Okay.
All right, guys. I think that's it for this week. I think that's it.
Yeah, that was a good one. I hope you had a great trip.
Yeah, so exciting. Me too. I can't wait to tell you guys about it. You can find us on Instagram at joyandclaire_. You can email us. This is joyandclaire@gmail.com. You can go to our website, joyandclaire.com. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Purity Woods. Go to puritywoods.com/joy to check out that age-defying dream cream and then use discount code JOY for that extra little discount boost. You guys are going to love that face lotion. If you haven't already tried it, please try it. Please support the podcast, but mostly support your face. Your face is going to really be excited about it.
Support your face.
Support your face. And we hope you guys are having a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.